Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and once again, Gary Watts is with us. He's the broker and owner of Impact Real Estate. Impact Real Estate is a private real estate company that provides consulting services to not only buyers, sellers, and investors, but to companies affiliated with the real estate industry in California. The broker, Gary Watts, is a well-known real estate economist who began his career in 1971. Today, he and his company are called upon to advise the home industry of economic trends that will affect and affect their future. Impact Real Estate also manages the investment properties they acquire for their investors. Gary, welcome back.
Well, thank you. Glad to be back.
Do you consider the trend for, you know, a large number of properties going into the rental pool by large buyers like hedge funds, do you consider that a first, and do you consider it dangerous in any way?
Well, when it first started, back in early, or probably late 2011, early 2012, it was kind of a welcome relief to take those properties off of the market. And also, demographically, we're moving more towards a rental society. And there's some implications with that, too. So the hedge funds might have been smart. The big question will be if they took a lot of inventory off the market, and they decide that they've made their returns, and they start putting it back on the market, that might have an impact on us on the reverse side.
They, you know, they were certainly market makers in the, it wasn't so much maybe the quantity of properties they bought, but that they offered on everything that moved in a certain price range. So even if they didn't buy it, they had a finger in maybe where the price ended up.
Yes, they did.
And they may have a similar effect in rental values to where they own enough of them in a tight area where they will, in fact, dictate the number. Well, I guess that's what we'll have to see.
Yes. The rents, of course, here in the Orange County marketplace were up 4.3% in the last 12 months. So, and we had some big pools come in and acquire some properties. That was probably the beginning signal that when the investors, portfolio investors, started moving into residential real estate and the media picked up on it, then the small investors who were disenchanted with still the stock market back then, they were bailing out. And then once those started entering and you saw increased sales, then the fence sitters who had been sitting there for 4 or 5 years waiting for the bottom saw that, ooh, it must be the bottom. And then around late 2011, 2012, we saw anybody holding an open house only had to hold it open for about 35 to 40 minutes to get the 50 people through and then multiple offers.
Yeah, I think you could have held an auction on the front yard and done very well every day. The hedge funds, you know, they're, I think for one thing, this asset class, real estate, single family real estate rentals is not of permanent interest to them, would be my sense. There's some that have created REITs, but I do think that for a lot of these types of funds, it's a passing fancy. Now, maybe they have a vehicle that they can offload the investment to Wall Street via bonds, and I've already said more than I understand, but I'm not sure that the houses have to sell for them to get what they wanted.
Oh, no, that's true. I mean, there are all types of entities looking for stable income.
Right.
One of the biggest company or entities is insurance company.
Correct.
And they, I mean, you're absolutely right. I could see where they would just package it off and sell it to, you know, a large insurance company or a variety of insurance companies, because this way they've got a steady cash flow for, you know, projecting out their annuities.
You mentioned that you thought that we were demographically headed toward a rental society. So I haven't landed on that space, so I'm interested why you think that.
Well, you almost have to look at the history of the world, and that is we're one of the youngest of the home building nations.
Okay.
And if you've traveled abroad, you know that there's two classes, those that own homes and those that rent. And if you go to these countries, you can see that it's almost 30% ownership, 70% rental.
Okay.
Now, what is interesting is that at our peak, we had 69% home ownership. And I think the latest number for the first quarter of this year, we're down to 62%.
Correct.
And so we are moving closer to where we're going to be almost half renters, half owners. And part of that is, again, a demographic trend taking place. I think there's a large cycle coming in. But what you've got is the young people today have got a couple problems. One, they're saddled with some debt from college. Then the job market isn't that, you know, fluid for them. And if they are employed, they see a lot of changes in the job market industry, and they're not confident. And then the other factor is that they saw their parents, you know, saddled with a home they couldn't unload, they were losing money on. And so this new generation is coming into the marketplace, and they're saying, you know what, I don't need all this. I want to be flexible. Even these young startup companies where they sell out and they make billions of dollars, they're renting. You know, I just want to be able to have my money work elsewhere. I want to be fluid. I want to be able to leave. And so these trends are building. To give you an example, I think the Irvine company is pretty smart. They own 48,000 rental units in Orange County. And Donald Brenn, the head of Irvine Company, told them, he says, take all of our vacant land and infill it with rentals. And he wants to double the number over the next 4 or 5 years to 98,000 rental units. And they just, I think he sees the global trend that how it goes with nations. And he's jumping in early.
Now, do you think that's a statement that he believes that the asset will go up?
Or it's you're just watching the monthly rental rates. If year-over-year basis, they're all on a rise.
Right. Now, you're talking about the cash flow from it going up, but I'm wondering if it's – you're thinking he's just going to keep 90,000 rentals instead of at some point say, okay, well, these have gone up a fortune. He doesn't need to do anything else with them other than create a cash flow.
That's all.
Okay.
It's just a tremendous cash flow for the company.
All right. You know, it's interesting. I know that's where the trend is, and I think – and that's why I like interviewing, because, you know, we're kind of batting it around. This is a new one, and why, when you put a Great Recession terminology on what we just went through, I think you don't lend credence to the damage that it's caused to families. And so if you're a 20-year-old in 2006 and you watch for the next 10 years real estate do what it's done, maybe you go and take that seriously. Like, I don't know that I want to sign up for one of those. I'm not buying that's the final decision, but I can see that it could be in place and create hesitancy. No doubt about it.
Oh, absolutely. We've got, the report came out for the first quarter of this year, and you may have seen it, but for the first-time homebuyer age group, from 30 to 35, it's the lowest percentage ever in the history of the United States.
Yeah, and, you know, once again, if you want an easy answer, you say, well, it's affordability. But I think all the answers you've given are better than that one answer by far. It really is. I think there's other factors is that when you – I'll tell you, Inland Empire, this is, say, 2013, you come out with a $200,000 property in Riverside. There was one that was in the MLS for 9 days, and I happened to be on a trip. When I came back, it was still didn't look visibly pending. And I called the broker, and I said, you know, they knew me, and I said, how come that's not pending? He said, oh, we have over 100 offers, 99% of which are all cash. We just haven't had time to come to a final decision on the best and final counter. And I really thought, you know what, if you're an FHA buyer, good luck. You're not going to get one. And I think there's a big pile of people that were underserved. They wanted one, never got a chance. And finally, you just have to have stability and say, you know what, we're just going to settle in for a year. So I don't know that that's somebody that's made a decision not to own. They just made a decision we have to at least have some stability.
Well, Bruce, you're right. I mean, through 2012 and 13 up until the last quarter, you know, we saw that the first-time homebuyer barely stood a chance of acquiring the properties. because of investors or people with 20% down. And I was shocked because I handled last year, I handled a 16-unit conversion in Orange County. And of the 16 units, I think only two of the people came in with 10% down. The others were putting down 25 or 30%, and these were priced at 425.
Right. So
and then four people paid all cash.
Yeah, it's a that's why I think the other thing is that you have all the foreclosures that occurred, what seems to be in distant memory, really have just emerged credit capable again and only able to get an FHA loan still, correct? I mean, as far as credit, if you had a foreclosure, you're not getting a Fannie Mae loan for, what, 7 years or something in that range?
Correct.
Okay, so your loan is an FHA loan, and they just reduced the loan amount that you can get. So I still think that group has to play out for a longer time before they can get back in. Now, are they willing to get back in? My bet would be they are, but I guess time will tell. So I think, you know, a lot of times in the last 5 years, we've worried about shadow inventory. I think there's shadow buyers. I don't, and here's another question, and this is, again, just kind of batting it around with you. You normally do not have a rise in inventory with rise in price. It just doesn't happen. If you, in your memory, you start thinking about, and I know you paid attention to inventory levels really carefully during the last cycle. So when you were between 2000 and 2005, as prices escalated and affordability went down, your inventory didn't grow. It got less and less and less, and it happens all the time. So now we have stable inventory. We have lower sales volume. We have still close to a record interest rate. What we're having is a different outcome than we've ever had. And so it's really kind of important that the people like yourself look at this and say, okay, this is really different. So an easy answer that, you know, it's less affordable, that's not correct because a chart will disprove it. So the idea that you're talking about is different. This generation looks at houses and says, I don't think so. You know, that could be a very valid outcome. I don't know if we are so far into it where we can say that's it. And I wonder if it doesn't turn the next time, like their college buddy gets into a condo and it goes up $100,000. It's like, oh man, that may be the turning point. When you were, say, at the end of 2012, looking at 2013, what did you see as far as price progression or inventory changes?
Well, you know, most of the time when I'm addressing an audience, it's here in Orange County.
Right.
So, but it's reflective of the whole nation. At that time, I told the association, they have me once a year at their membership as their keynote speaker. And I told the realtors, I said, look, for 2013, you're going to look at a low of 13 to probably 15% appreciation.
Which was probably four times as high as the CAR projection.
Correct. And the reason for that goes back to what you said earlier. We had low inventory. Normally in Orange County, we carry around a historical average of about 8,500 homes on the market. And we were below 3,000.
What's also significant about that number is the mix. So you didn't have 3,000 REOs anymore. You had 3,000 properties comprised of short sales, REOs, but the bulk of them were people that were going to sell and rebuy something.
Yeah, for the first time, the equity buyer was moving in. By the middle of 2013, the equity buyer had greatly surpassed the distressed property sellers.
Right, and see, once again, when you start looking at, let's say, where inventory is going to go to, well, how does it grow when 85 or 90% of your sellers want to buy another one? It's hard to grow. And it, well, that's why when you look at a price chart and you look at inventory chart, you'll conclude, inventory doesn't go down when prices go up. Inventory goes down instead. And so, you know, when I look at sales this year, and this is, I'm glad we got to this point. When I'm standing at the end of 2013 and I look at inventory and I look at the charts, I would not have assumed that we would have less sales, that the car projection of, you know, 440 plus, has turned into probably 350 plus. And I don't see a reason for that. I don't know why we're down. So you said you looked at that and said we're going to have slower sales. What chart said to you that's probably going to happen?
Well, the bigger chart is the cycle of real estate. Anytime after a recession, anywhere from 18 to 24 months, you have booming sales. And that's what we alluded to earlier. You had the hedge funds come in, the investors come in, the fence sitters come in, and that really drove the pricing. Unfortunately, it hurt the first-time home buyer because he couldn't compete against those all-cash offers. But when at the end of 2013, the last quarter was the first time we had not had quarter-over-quarter sales gains. And then that tied right in with the real estate cycle of 18 to 24 months. It turned out that for Orange County, we ran 22 months, and then it ended. So I knew that we would have, since now all the fence sitters are gone, a lot of the investors are gone, the institutional people are out, it just made sense that we would be having fewer buyers. Now, our inventory, when we started at the beginning of the year, it was less than 5,000. We're up to 7,000 now. But I told the audience, I said, for 2014, I see an appreciation rate somewhere around 7 to 10. If we stay below or right around 6,000, I think we'll be at 10%. If our inventory goes up to 7,500, I can see us being on the lower side of the 7%.
How many months' supply does that equate to, 7,000 homes?
Just 2.5.
Yeah, so that's not a threatening number in the least.
Right, it's not a threatening number at all. And that's why we're, you know, we'll still have appreciation. But this second cycle it only lasts for about 12 months. So 2014 will probably be pretty good. And then you get into the third cycle, and that only lasts about a year. When you get back to nominal interest rates, where you're nominal appreciation, where you're looking at, you know, 3% at best.
Interesting.
Maybe 5.
Okay. You know, it's, again, it's fun talking with you because I definitely land on a different set of charts, but I'm fascinated by the process. What year, then, you feel we're mimicking, if you go back to anything between 2000 and 2006, what year is 2014?
2014 would probably be close to 2000 and late 6, early 7.
I didn't expect that one. Okay. Okay, because do you feel you've used up that much price already in 2014? So there's really... You're bumping your head at a top number, I mean, within a certain 10% or 20% for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, your affordability in Orange County, what year is it mimicking? Do you... California is mimicking.
Well, right now, in Orange County, we're as the first quarter came to an end, only 19% of our homes were affordable.
Yeah, but that's almost always true. When you go back in history, you're going to have that same chart, and the next year you can go up. So
right.
That doesn't end your – just to give you an example, 32% is where California is, and that's almost as high as it ever got in the 80s. We got to 36% in the 90s.
In the 90s,
and
right.
We go down to 17 almost regularly. So – I guess when I look at where I see California in general, I see a very earlier year. I see it mimicking 2001 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I guess that's why I look at it and say, okay, I feel like we have some price aggression left in, and it's in different markets. So the Inland Empire is a different animal in a sense. I read that you had said there were quite a few new home projects in Orange County. What's interesting about Riverside, our employment definitely needs that to kick off for Riverside's employment to get better. But even last year, in an area where we normally create 350 subdivisions a year, we created 40 in 2013, even after the price run that we had, and 20 5 years in a row prior to that. So, so we don't have like a whole bunch of building lots waiting in the wings. We have building lots that were already created, bought for a song, and they're being built on. But there's going to be a round where we finally go, we need a bunch of new houses, and there's going to be nothing to build on. So Orange County, I know, is not probably in the same boat because your construction, even though it's going to be higher in number, it really didn't even get high in 2005 and 6. There just wasn't
Correct.
Enough lots.
Yeah.
So it's
also, the one thing is you know, Orange County, or you getting here on the coast versus the Inland Empire, is we were always the first to, you know, to turn around.
Sure.
And the last to go in. So our cycle would be different for Orange County than it would be for, also, you know, the Inland Empire, because they would be the first going in and then the last coming out. So the time lag in terms of years, you know, is understandable.
There's actually a color chart that one of the title companies put together with. That was pretty fascinating to watch. So you put your mouse over it, and you can scroll it, and you can see Inland turning green later. it's pretty interesting. So
yeah,
what chart do you consider like the holy grail? I mean, for me, I look at affordability, and I feel like that's a domino chart. Once we hit a certain number on the low side, I can say, put it with certainty, there's going to be other charts react in a negative way. So what chart do you say, okay, this is to me a key chart?
Two things. I agree with you on the affordability, because that affects everything. If you don't get the entry-level buyers in, then you're shutting down the food chain up to the top. Well, near the top. The wealthy, they can buy, and they don't care about the economy. And the other thing, though, for me, is the job market and the income growth that is occurring. If the income growth is really small and the job market is not creating the jobs it needs, then we've got an issue, because, as we know, housing and jobs is joined at the hip.
Which made 2013 really a difficult projection. We said that we'd have a good price increase. But it was based on my experience as a seller, knowing that every time I have something for sale, it flies off the shelf. But I couldn't look at a job chart and say, oh, we're back. That chart didn't tell me that.
Right.
And so, once again, you know, when you're sitting there looking at it going, okay, well, this is a different result. Normally, construction improves, and that drives the job market, and that drives occupancy of commercial, and that drives migration back to California, and all those charts domino the way they're supposed to, and then we get price increases. Here we are getting price increases going, well, wait a minute, we haven't fixed any of those normal charts. What's going on? So that's what's fun about projecting stuff, is that it's a never-ending study. You're always looking at going, okay, what haven't I figured out, or what didn't I think about? Because it's always new.
Yeah, and there's so many variables. I mean, we've got the job market, we've got demographics, we've got what the financial market did over the last 3 years. I mean, the number of people who refinanced to take their 30-year mortgage and take it down to a 10 or a 15. And I just read where 19.8% of homeowners are accelerating their loan payment.
Yeah, see, so I think that's a very astute comment, because ultimately you end up with people with a lot of free and clear real estate. And that's a very stable person.
Absolutely. And 25% of our homes in Orange County are free and clear.
Yeah, and maybe that's the other effect of experiencing something very negative, that there's a certain percentage of people that say, you know what, I want to get rid of this home payment. That would make my life so much more sane. And
Correct.
So they might be, in fact, you know, headed that way. Well, we've only got about 30 seconds. Gary, it's really been fun talking with you. I'm gonna have to take a look at some of those things that you suggested, that, you know, how they're going to play out. You feel like we're going to have a couple of years of good times and then slow down. And I guess I don't know what the time frame is. I look for charts and say, are they going to mature? And when they do, I get out of the way. So, Gary, thanks again for joining us very much.
Okay, you're welcome, Bruce.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.